Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry I didn't bring this up earlier. Senate Bill 188 had been on the floor last year, had gone to third reading, and was then sent back to rules. It came to us, and there was some discussion as to whether it was in second or third reading, and I would just make the point that I don't necessarily believe that it was in second reading, and I'd like to have that researched to find out. As far as this bill, there's no sense in debating it tonight, but I think as far as establishing a precedent that may not be an existing precedent, I want to make sure that that consideration was at least noted.
But thank you, Representative Halford. It's so noted. We have before us House Joint Resolution 12. It's in second reading. There are amendments. Will the clerk please read the first? Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Objection. There is objection. Representative Halford. There is objection.
Could the Judiciary Chairman explain the difference between the two?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll certainly try. We completely rewrote the bill. We did not use Article 2, Section 9 and 10, that speaks to special sessions and adjournments. We used instead Section 8, regular sessions. We made no changes on the special session. We made no changes on the governor settling adjournment disputes between the House. And the 120-day session adjournment still in the bill, but resolution simplified by limiting the constitutional amendment to Section 8 of the regular sessions. And we limited to one the number of 10-day extensions in the original bill. In other words, we placed changes in Article 2, Section 10, adjournments, and instead of Article 2, Section 8, regular session. We made no substantive changes, but now makes it clear that the extension vote, two-thirds of each House, applies only to regular, not special sessions, allows only one 10-day extension of the 120-day regular session, where originally allowed unlimited extension increments.
Representative Halford.
Just for a point of clarification, I think it may be an error that there's only one extension. There's only an extension of time of up to 10 days. As I read it, that may be provided through several actions of the bodies, but the limitation is 10 days. I think the Judiciary Chairman said one. I think that was not the way I read the bill.
Representative Rogers.
So Mr. Speaker, The Judiciary CS is an absolute limit of 130 days. Is that correct? And I'm curious if the houses under Section 10, which was in the old bill, if the houses disagree, seems like Section 10 and Section 8 might be in conflict. Can the chairman say what happens if one house is ready to adjourn and the other one isn't? Which takes precedence, Section 10 or Section 8?
Representative
Barnes.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Mr. Speaker. We attempted to leave it where the governor can agree with one house or the other and continue to adjourn the bodies of the legislature as he can now.
Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12? Representative Miller.
Could we have the Judiciary Chairman explain that again? We're leaving it up to the governor, is that right? Is that correct?
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's no change in Section 10. As it is right now, the governor can settle disputes between the houses on adjournment date if one of the houses certifies that dispute to the governor.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, there was a question asked that I don't think was answered. There seem to be two different views of this language. That is, unless I misunderstood the majority leader, he stated that there could be more than one 10-day extension if the votes were there. the implication of, from the Judiciary Chairman and perhaps from the language of the bill, and the question asked by the member of Fairbanks is that that cannot be done. It's only one extension. What's the answer?
This time I'm going to place a call on the House on Committee Substitutes for Joint Resolution Number 12. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The answer is very clearly in the resolution before us. May be extended for up to 10 consecutive calendar days. I stated that that extension could come in 2 5-day extensions, 2 3-day extensions, and an added extension, not to exceed a total of 10 consecutive calendar days. The 10 days is an absolute limit. There is no specified language that addresses how you reach that 10 days, whether it's voted on once or twice, and how you total up the 10 days, but the 10 days is the absolute limit.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, just so I understand this, does this mean that if we voted to extend it 9 days, then we could extend it another 10 days? Because that wouldn't be 10 consecutive days.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, that is not correct. You can have up to 10 days, and you can do that, as the majority leader said, and 5 2-day increments, or 2 5-day increments, or any numbers amounting up to 10, but not more than 10 days.
Representative Clarkson.
In order that I can understand this better, maybe I can propose a hypothetical as a, and to see whether this is possible, propose this as a question through the speaker to the chair of the Judiciary Committee. Let's assume there's a 120-day session, that by a two-thirds vote of the membership of both bodies, the session is extended for 10 days. At the end of that 10 days, the session is adjourned for 3 days, and by another two-thirds vote of both bodies of the legislature, a special session is called for a period of 30 days. Is that possible if this constitutional amendment becomes law, becomes part of the Constitution?
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, that is my interpretation. It would be possible for us then to go into a special session.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I think that's almost the case. However, the special session has a time period, whether the call is issued by the governor or by the legislature. And if that's the case, I think there would be a further intervening period of time beyond the 3 days. And that's all from memory. I might be wrong, but I'm getting nods on the floor.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the other question I had about this, and I think it's a defect in the original as well, the use of the permissive language may be extended. Generally in the Constitution, when you want to limit something, you say may not be extended for more than. To say that it may be extended for such and such a period doesn't come right out and say that you may not extend it for longer than that period. And it seems to me that the Judiciary CS is ambiguous in that regard, and for that reason I continue to maintain my objection.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can assure you that it is not ambiguous. It says it may be extended up to 10 days. We did have legislative drafter working with us as other attorneys, and I think it's very clear that you can have an extension up to 10 days.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a co-sponsor of this bill, but even I at the moment, I just a question on line 24, how many increments up to 10 days? I think perhaps that may be the question.
Answer.
One increment, two increments, or four increments?
Representative Abood, the bill under debate is a Judiciary Committee substitute. I think you're looking at the other bill. Representative Brown?
Well, Mr. Speaker, actually the matter under debate is the motion to adopt the committee substitute, and it was the matter raised by the member from Anchorage, from Spinard, that is the reason that I'm opposing the Judiciary Committee substitute. That is, I prefer the increments of up to 10 consecutive calendar days in the original bill, and I disagree with this unnecessary limitation that has been put in the Judiciary Committee substitute. I think that this whole subject is another example of legislative self-flagellation, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease.
Halpert in a barn.
Candidate for what?
Dumping.
Candidate for what?
I was saying that I'd like to have the building be before the House.
We're under debate on the motion to adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'm concerned by sort of a combination of a couple things people brought up about the wording on lines 16 and 17. I'm not sure why the words, the word consecutive is used, and it sort of seems to imply that there's something other than consecutive calendar days, and I assume that means unconsecutive calendar days. And the language on line 16 says may be extended. So it seems to permit consecutive days, and I don't know if that somebody who's trying to get around this in the future could somehow construe this or argue that this didn't preclude unconsecutive calendar days. And you have to, I think, assume that the word consecutive was used for a reason. And I'm not sure what that reason was for. Maybe better off without the word consecutive in there and just the flat 10 days. Otherwise, somebody's going to try and interpret that consecutive meant something to the exclusion of something else.
Representative Hofford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The language was drafted by legal with specific instructions as to what it was supposed to do. I believe that it... I guess I can't mention the other body, but the language was constructed to make sure that it applied specifically to 10 days, that they be the 10 days right after the point that you get to 120 days, and that 10 days be a maximum. That's what legal came back and drafted. I believe it's fairly clear, particularly in light of the fact that under our operating procedures and constitution, calendar days and consecutive days are the same thing. I think it may be unnecessary. I think it was added with legal advice, and I don't see that it weakens it at all when calendar days and consecutive days are required to be the same thing as far as they apply to the legislature.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, just to give an example, and I don't know that I've thought about this language very long, and I'm certainly not the legal attorney who should be drafting this or any kind of attorney, but if you said except that the regular session may not be extended more than 10 days after that adjournment date, then you would know that nobody's going to try and interpret it to something. If it was 10 days after that adjournment date that's referred to in the two lines before it, but it, I think it's possible that people are going to interpret this, and I think you have to assume that when this thing passes and it gets down to the end of it and people are trying to figure out a way around this within the Constitution, they're going to do it. In other states, they do all kinds of things where they have artificial limitations. They stop the clock. They go up there and they stop the clock, or somebody goes up and keeps turning it back. And that seems sort of humorous, but it is done in places all the time, and it's an accepted way of doing business. And somehow, even though they have constitutional prohibitions against going over, they are able to get around it by doing that kind of thing. So I think you have to assume that people are going to look for every way possible to get around this, and I think I would be able to argue, as I'm now am, that there is a way to interpret that there is something other than consecutive days, such as unconsecutive days, and that if I was the two houses agreed and a majority, two-thirds of each house agreed to have extended that 3 days at a shot and then adjourn for a couple days and then come back, they'd be unconsecutive days and therefore not limited to this. And I think you need tighter language to prohibit that.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's going to be a challenge, but I'm going to try to explain this language, which is fairly simple on the surface. Mr. Speaker, this bill would limit a regular session of the legislature to 120 days. And that's not very difficult to figure out where the end of 120 days is. If the session is not extended before the end of those 120 days, then it ends, period. There's no opportunity for anyone to extend it if they don't extend it before the end of those 120 days, because legally the legislature is no longer convened as of the end of those 120 days. So, at some point, as they're approaching that 120th day, the legislature is going to have to vote. Are we going to extend this thing or aren't we? And they'll vote yes or no. And it'll take two-thirds of each body to pass that motion, whatever it is, to extend it for 2 days, 3 days, up to 10 days, and those days will be consecutive. Mr. Speaker, that's not very difficult to understand.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, as is often the case, the simpler solutions turn out to be the more complicated. Speaker, as I read this, and maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see where you're limited to one extension. Now, I know that's the intent, and I know as the majority reader reads it or reads it out loud, that's what's in his mind. And so, therefore, it seems like that's what it really says. But if you wanted to read it with that not being in your mind, which is what I invite you to do like this, I think you could extend, you could have as many extensions as you want to. We're saying that the legislature shall adjourn from regular session no later than 120 calendar days, et cetera, et cetera, and may be extended for up to 10 consecutive days. Now, if you extend it for 10 consecutive days, it's still the regular session. You haven't gone into special session. You've extended the regular session. So after you've extended it for 10 consecutive days, about the ninth day of that 10th consecutive day, it's still part of the regular session. It's not a special session. You can then say, okay, let's extend it again. Now, granted, it's going to take two-thirds of each house. And then after you've extended it 10 consecutive days, it's still part of the regular session, and you can again say that if you get the necessary two-thirds. Now, if that's all right, if you don't mind having more than one extension, of course, I'm opposed to the whole blooming thing, but if you don't mind having more than one extension, then that's okay. Then this bill is okay. But, Mr. Speaker, I invite you, if your intention was not to allow more than one extension, this bill falls short, and as the representative from Ketchikan indicated, the first time there is a political need to have more than one 10-day extension, believe me, as surely as we're all in this room right now, that will be read as it very likely can be read, it'll be read to allow that to happen. And so your intent will come to no avail.
Representative Meekins.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I do remember in judiciary talking about trying to limit this to say that there should only be one extension, one 10-day extension. And the problem there was that perhaps people would only want a one-day extension, and they might want to just extend the session in, you know, one day at a time, rather than just make a guess at how many days it was going to be. Because when you're ending the session, sometimes you don't know if it's going to be 1 day or 4 days or 5 days or 10 days. So it would be important, I think, to have the latitude to maybe extend it 2 days at a time or 1 day at a time, so you can make several extensions. But the concept was that they shouldn't accumulate to more than 10 days, altogether. And I think that was the reason that the language that was considered at one time, saying only one extension, was not put in. And I'm not sure whether or not the former speaker's reading that correctly or not. I hadn't seen it read that way, and I really don't know whether that's just really just manipulating the words there or what, but I just thought I'd give that information out.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I don't know how other people are reading this, but I read it, and it seems quite clear to me that it says that you go 120 days and that you can have up to 10 consecutive calendar days as an extension of the 120 days. I don't think in the future anyone's going to manipulate the language. I think it's very clear, and I do not feel that there's a problem with the language.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, it's not necessary to manipulate the language. It's just necessary to read the language. It says that a regular session can be extended up to 10 days. I mean, if that was my intention, to allow as many extensions as we wanted, provided we went back and got two-thirds each time, this is the way I would have written the language. So it seems to me that at the very least, if you don't want more than one session, or more than one total of 10 days, I'll grant you that you could have several smaller ones, if you don't want more than one total of 10 days, I think you'd better put the bill off for a day or send it back to committee or do something else, because the language is flawed the way it stands right now.
Representative O'Connell.
Mr. Speaker, I could agree with the gentleman from Juneau if it wasn't for the language in this proposed bill that is right in front of us. It says that a regular session of the legislature will be 120 days. It says that rather clearly, and I think any one of us can agree that that language is there. Then it says that this 120-day period can be extended for up to 10 days. And so, Mr. Speaker, what this bill very clearly extends is a 120-day session. It does not in any way speak to extending a 130-day session.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, once again, the language is permissive, not prohibitory. It may be extended for up to 10 days. It may be, that doesn't say that it may not be extended for 11 days. Mr. Speaker, when you're looking at a constitution, if you want to prohibit something, you have to say that you may not do something. By being permissive and saying you may do this, there's no question that you may do something else.
President Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I think there is some obvious disagreement on the plain meaning of the language in the proposed committee substitute. The language does not say a regular session may not be longer than 120 days. It says that the legislature shall adjourn from a regular session no later than 120 days, except that the session may be extended. And I think that a plain reading of the language by a person who was not encumbered by some idea of previous discussions on this proposal would be that what that means is you can go up to 120 days, or you can go up to that plus 10 days, plus 10 days, plus 10 days. It does not say anywhere that a regular session is limited to 120 days, and then you start some sort of extraordinary session. And to read it any other way would be to insert something into the language as written that does not exist there. And my reading of the language of the proposal, when I saw the calendar for today, I took the plain meaning of it to be that that was a series of 10-day increments, and was quite surprised to find a contrary view expressed by the members of the Judiciary Committee.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, just so people understand that since this is a constitutional amendment and it is not regular legislation, the usually somewhat questionable validity as legislative history of the debates on this floor is even more questionable. That is, the courts say that they don't look particularly to debates on the floor of the House and the Senate for legislative intent interpreting constitutional amendments, because they're voted on by the people, and the people don't have that tape available, and they're going to read the same language that the member from Kenai was just referring to and draw the same two different conclusions.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to move an amendment to the amendment as soon as it gets to the chief clerk.
The question before us, Representative Gardner, is the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12. Representative Brown.
Point of parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker. Isn't a motion to adopt a committee substitute really a motion to adopt an amendment, and therefore an amendment to the amendment may be in order?
I believe that's correct, Representative Brown. Representative Meekins.
Well, Mr. Speaker, just a parliamentary technicality. It certainly is in order to amend a committee substitute, but according to Mr. Barrier, committee substitute may not be exactly considered an amendment, even though it's a series of amendments. Just wanted to state that for the record, because it might come up later.
Representative Miller. House, please stand at ease.
Speaker, wait a minute.
House, please come back to order. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move an amendment to the amendment before us, which is the Judiciary Committee substitute, and ask for unanimous consent.
Object.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
The amendment by Gardner to committee substitute, House Joint Resolution 12, page 1, line 16. After the word convene, place a period and delete all language on lines 16 through 19.
Mr. Speaker, might explain the amendment. What it would do is on line 16, it would just delete all the new underlined language after the word convenes. So in essence, the new language would say the legislature shall adjourn from regular session no later than 120 consecutive calendar days from the date it convenes, period. I think that would clear up the problem of anybody debating what this extension means. And I think that if you're going to have a session limitation, have one. And pick out however many days that you think going to need. If you don't think 120 days is enough and that you might need a 10-day extension, then say 130. Or if you think it's 120 is too long, say 90, or whatever it is. But I think the reality is if you say 120, but you can have 10 more, it's probably going to end up 130. And as I say, the experience in other states with arbitrary limit on it, or I don't know if it's arbitrary or not, I guess it is, but with a definite day limit on it is that people try to figure out ways to get around it. And I could think of ways with the existing language in here, whereas, for instance, the two bodies get together, they got a two-thirds vote of each side all signed up, and they say, well, we're not going to have 10 consecutive days, we're going to have 4 3-day sessions or 4 5-day sessions and we're going to adjourn for intervals in between. And by using that mechanism, they could work for a few days, then adjourn for a few days, still working, although theoretically they're not in session, have committee meetings, which we know we can have. We don't have to be in session to have committee meetings. Get everything lined up, throw everything out on the floor in 1 or 2 days, and ram everything through. And in essence, that's what happens in some legislatures. There's nothing to prohibit that kind of activity. So I think it's much cleaner and simpler and will effectuate a real limit that nobody will argue about or nobody will try to interpret or figure tricky ways to get around if you just say 120 days, period.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's a fine amendment myself. I can assure you that we did not put the 10 consecutive calendar days on there simply because we felt that the legislature should go another 10 days. We did it as an accommodation to many people in this body that have refused to vote for a limit on the session in the past. And so I'm very, very happy to see that the junior representative from Ketchikan will support this legislation, and I'm very supportive of his amendment.
Mr. Speaker, I also agree with the former speaker. The amendment basically brings into conformity this amendment with the amendment that I co-sponsored in January 24th of 1979. I think the language that was put in there on extensions was not put in there by the majority of the members of the majority, but as we know, this takes 27 votes, and we're trying to get there. We're trying to get a limit on the length of the session. If, in fact, the maker of the amendment intends to vote for this resolution, then I think the amendment's a good one.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to correct the statement made by the Judiciary Chair about people not being willing to vote for this. The fact is that this body did in 1980 pass a constitutional amendment. When it got hung up in the other house, we then passed an advisory vote, which did go to the ballot. The fact is there have been 27 votes under Democratic leadership for a constitutional amendment.
Question. Representative Hofford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just point out that this body didn't pass one without an extension provision, and the one that went on the ballot had an extension provision as well by a simple majority.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do object to the amendment, and the purpose of my objection is that I will support a constitutional amendment that takes the form that of the advisory ballot proposition that was before the voters, and I think that, the amendment moves a significant direction away from that, step away from that, and I oppose the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the amendment to the amendment being, in this case, the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 28 yeas, 9 nays.
The amendment to the amendment has passed. This brings back before us the question of the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12. Representative Brown.
Speaker, I was opposed to the original motion to adopt the committee substitute before the amendment, and I'm even more opposed now. Mr. Speaker, I refer to self-flagellation. I think that's what we're doing right here, both with regard to the hour of the evening and also with regard to the substance before us. There is something about the American legislator, Mr. Speaker, that is self-destructive. Whether he's in the Alaska or in the lower 48, he tends to run for the hills any time anybody suggests that he be adequately paid. Whenever an editorialist suggests that legislative sessions are too long, he gleefully jumps at cutting the throat of the legislative branch to turn over the government to the bureaucrats that are supposedly so hated by his constituents and even by some of those same editorial writers. Mr. Speaker, this is absurd. I don't think that people have to be afraid of the legislative branch of government at a time when most of the problems that people have with government occur in the executive branch. And people in the executive branch breathe a sigh of relief. Well, we sure got rid of them, and we don't have to worry about them until next January, as soon as the legislature adjourns. And this is, I think, completely counterproductive. It is entirely consistent with the self-flagellatory nature of the American legislator, but it's counterproductive.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I very seldom agree with my colleague from Fairbanks, but I want to agree with him almost totally in his remarks. It seems to me that he makes an excellent point that I do believe the legislature is without question the weakest branch of government, and that if we're going to, in fact, continue the government interference in everybody's lives to the extent we have, then I think it's important that that we do in fact have maybe a full-time legislature. I'm of the opinion, however, that the people in Alaska are about to make a very basic change in the direction of their government, and that you are not going to in fact have near as big a bureaucracy or near as powerful a bureaucracy, and therefore we can in fact get along with a much limited legislature. And I'm voting for this with that in mind. Thank you, gentlemen.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My physician tells me, and he happens to be with me this evening, that our efficiency has dropped down to 0.0007.9, and there has been no morsels of food past these precious lips. And I suggest that we get on with the voting.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12 as amended? Members may proceed to vote. State your point, Representative O'Connell.
are we adopting this, or are we adopting it in lieu of the original bill? I mean, you know, maybe there's no difference. Normally you say it's final passage or whatever, but in fact we're voting to adopt it as a working document, correct?
In lieu of the original bill.
Right.
With yes, I'll restate the motion. I'll try it here. Will the clerk please, I haven't asked the members to proceed to vote, so will the clerk please, House, please stand at ease. Order. I'll attempt to restate the motion. The question is, shall the House adopt a Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 as amended in lieu of the original bill? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 30 yeas, 7 nays.
So the Judiciary Committee substitute has been adopted. Will the clerk please read the First Amendment? Might remind the members that we are under call.
The First Amendment by Malone is to line 18, which no longer applies.
Representative Malone?
Mr. Speaker, the amendment would no longer apply. It asks to be withdrawn.
Without objection, amendment number one is withdrawn. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number two. By Randolph and Bettysworth, page 1, line 15, delete 20 and replace it with 5. 105 consecutive calendar days.
Everyone understand the amendment? Change 120 to 105 on line 15. Representative Randolph?
I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the amendment.
Object.
There is objection. Representative Randolph?
Mr. Speaker, I put this amendment in before the other amendment passed. And I was given some thought to withdrawing it, but I think we did head in the right direction, and maybe we can keep heading in that direction. I'd ask for unanimous consent on the amendment.
Object.
There is objection, Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, my only fear is that we head in the right direction until we have less than 27 votes.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, that's up to each of the 27 who have an opportunity to vote.
Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12 as amended? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 25 nays.
Amendment number 2 has failed. Will the clerk please read the next amendment? Representative Rogers?
May we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Clerk, please read amendment number 3.
I had amendment number 3 by Representative Cotton. It was to page 1, line 19. We don't have a line 19. So I presume it's out of order.
You may put it on line. We'll change that to line 17.
Okay.
After the word days. No, let's see. Yes, after the word convenes on line 16.
Amendment.
New sentence.
Says add, no business may be conducted by the legislature between the hours of 9 p.m. and 8 a.m.
All right.
Object.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Object.
There is objection, Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, you know, a lot of times decisions that get made at this time of night aren't always made with the clearest of heads, and somebody pointed out to me that would apply to voting on this amendment as well. An example of where it's been successful, though, is the municipality of Anchorage. And when the charter was designed a few years back, there was a stipulation that no business could be conducted after midnight. They only meet once a week, but the meetings would run on until late hours, and in fact, until the following morning many times. And you just beat your opposition into submission by the late hour. And I think that really does make a lot of sense. I don't think it would really hamper the operation of the legislature. I think that we could, if we don't get finished by 9 o'clock, a lot of us can eat dinner and get up and go back to work at a reasonable hour.
Is there further debate? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12 as amended? Clerk, please clear the roll. Members may proceed to vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take. Representative Metcalf? Representative Metcalf from yes to no? Will you please void the roll? Well, the members question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for Joint Resolution Number 12 as amended? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Randolph, do you have your hand up? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment number 3 has failed. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 4 by Rogers. Page 1, line 15, delete 120, insert 90.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
There is objection. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the House adjourn until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 23 nays.
The motion to adjourn has failed. This brings us back to amendment number 4. Has been moved. There is objection. Is there debate?
Question.
Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment number 4 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 is amended. Just stand by while the clerk gets it on the board. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 25 nays.
Amendment number 4 has failed. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
I have no more amendments on my desk.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Object.
There is objection. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we can be at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Halford, will you restate your motion?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 12 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
That's the Judiciary Committee substitute. Is there as objection has been removed? Hearing none, so ordered. Brings it before us in third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12, Judiciary amended. Proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska limiting the length of regular sessions of the legislature.
Is there debate? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, all of the remarks that I made with regard to the difference between the original bill and the Judiciary Committee substitute and my reason for not voting for the committee substitute as amended apply quite thoroughly to the main bill. Legislative branches seem to always have a habit of reducing their power and trying to open themselves up, all bare their breast to the people, while the executive branch, with only one or two elected officials that anybody out there could even name, is involved in things that very often harm our constituents far more than we do. And if we're not here, or if we can't be here because of some technical requirement in the Constitution, if we don't have that ability to be here, when we have to be, then those bureaucrats laugh all the way to the bank with their paychecks. And Mr. Speaker, my colleague from Fairbanks seems to think that the people should be more frightened of us than of the executive branch. I don't agree. I think that as a firm session limitation turns state government over to the bureaucracy, and it also turns it over to interim committees, and it takes it out of the hands of the legislature and out of the hands of the people.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I voted for the amendment that was put forth by a representative from Ketchikan because I thought that did clean up the bill, made it more honest, made it more, cleaner, more understandable. Mr. Speaker, it's still basically bad legislation. We're shackling ourselves, we're putting limits on ourselves, that there's no good reason. The limiting factor in this state should be an exercise by the people to limit our terms when they think that we have not represented them correctly. If they think that we are responsible for a 160-day session and that session was a bad session, then the people have the option of limiting us. And I think we're very responsible to that possibility of that happening. When we put artificial limits on anything in the legislative arena, we're laying ourselves open to manipulation, particularly by special interest, whose goal, more often than not, is to kill legislation. I shudder to think where this state would be right now if we had had this limitation that this proposes on the books right now. We would certainly not have, among other things, the tax dollars available to us they're declining right now, and that's a problem. But we wouldn't even have what we have right now if we'd had this sort of limitation. Particularly special interests, and we can all identify a number in our minds. Some of us think that some interests are not even all that bad, and that's legitimate too. But special interests, as a general rule, seek to limit, seek to kill legislation. And it's a lot easier to delay legislation than it is to pass it. So that if a special interest or even a small group, a minority group within the legislature wants to kill something, they can very often succeed in delaying it. And when you've got an artificial ending to the legislature, all you have to do is succeed in delaying it long enough, and the limitation that we're considering right now does the killing for you. I think it's very bad legislation, Mr. Speaker. What we're doing with this sort of legislation is saying to the public that we don't trust ourselves. And you know, and maybe within this group, maybe some of you don't trust us collectively. But I do, Mr. Speaker. Even as a minority member, when your coalition is in charge, I trust the collective wisdom of this group more than I trust an artificial limit that after such and such a day is going to stop all debate, all consideration of legislation, whether it be good legislation or bad. It just doesn't make sense to put these artificial limits on us. And look what's happened the last time we put an artificial limit on. We passed the artificial spending limit, and I think from conversations that I've had with a number of you informally, that you're beginning to have the same question in your mind about that limitation, which I, you know, voted for. And I'm beginning to have some severe questions about that artificial limitation. I'm about to decide that I made a bad mistake in voting for that limitation, because it's another one of these artificial things that don't quite relate, you know, to real politics, to the real world. And it just doesn't make sense for us to put these artificial limits on us. So I, you know, whether it's 90 days, whether it's 120 days, even if it was 160 days, the artificial thing, it doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. It's just an admission by our collective self that we don't trust ourselves. And I think if we don't trust ourselves and we don't trust the democratic process, I really don't know. I don't think we should see collective office. I think we should step aside and let people run for these seats that do trust the collective wisdom, first of all, of the total people of Alaska to select good representatives and senators, and then the collective wisdom of those legislators.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Hofford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Apparently there's some question about the call of the House. You'd used the call to make sure that members stayed here, although you were trying to be courteous, I believe, to Representative Smith, who had some place that she had to go to, and you were placing call motions and lifting the call, or not placing motions, placing the call and lifting the call. It appears that you neglected to lift the call at one point in the procedure on this bill, and I don't think we have any choice but to go back through it again.
I think that's right, Representative Hofford. We need to start back with the amendment to amendment number, amendment to the amendment, which is an amendment to the Judiciary Committee substitute.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
State your point.
My inquiry is, wouldn't it be a good idea for you to make a ruling as a point of order that that's the case, just so we don't have a confusion, that rule those motions out of order?
Thank you. Representative Duncan?
Are you going to rule first, sir?
Yes, I think those motions, I'm ruling that those motions are out of order, since according to the notes of the clerk and her assistant. We have been under the call of the House since the bill was, since the motion was made for the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute, and so those motions would be out of order, and we're going to have to start over again.
Has the call been lifted?
Not yet.
Point of parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
State your point.
Is it therefore the case that now before us is the first amendment that was made to the Judiciary Committee substitute?
That's correct. If it's that's the point that we would, that's where we would be, Representative.
Okay. And I assume you'll have the clerk remind us as to what that amendment was.
Yes. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, in my mind, that points out the necessity for Representative Cotton's earlier amendment. For that reason, I'd move that we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There is objection. The motion has been made once, Representative. Yes, there has been intervening business. That's true. Question is, shall the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning? Is there debate? There's not debatable. Are you ready for the question? I'm going to lift the call.
Thank you. That's what I was going to ask.
I'll lift it anyway. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 23 nays.
Motion to adjourn has failed. This brings us back to Representative Gardner's motion. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, would it be possible to move that the roll call on the previous vote on the same subject be shown as the roll call on this vote?
I think to be safe, Representative Gardner, we should probably just go through the whole procedure. It won't take long unless we get a lot of motions here to adjourn or other parliamentary inquiries. Will the clerk please read the amendment to the amendment, Representative Gardner?
Just trying to save time. I will draw that amendment.
Is there objection to the withdrawal of the amendment? Representative Halford, there is objection.
Leave it at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Place the House under call. We are under call. House, please stand at ease. Representative Halford.
The amendment that I believe the motion was made to withdraw is the amendment that was adopted, which provides for a 120-day session. It's a clean, straightforward approach, and I believe that's the way we should do it. I support the amendment, and I would encourage the member not to withdraw the amendment.
There is objection to the withdrawal of the motion. The question is, Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I urge the members to vote no on the motion to withdraw Amendment number one to the Judiciary Committee substitute.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I think it's my amendment. I want to withdraw it.
There is objection, Representative Gardner. Representative Halford.
Can we have it at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I believe there is an amendment to amendment number one on the clerk's desk.
Well, the clerk, please read the amendment to amendment number one, amendment number one being the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12.
Mr. Speaker, I think we had a motion before us. What has happened to that motion?
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, that is correct. I withdraw my objection to the withdrawal of Representative Gardner's amendment.
Objection to the withdrawal of Representative Gardner's amendment to amendment number one has been withdrawn. Does a clerk have another amendment to amendment number one? Amendment number one being the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12.
I have an amendment to Amendment 1. Amendment to the committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12 by Halford. Page 1, line 16, after the word convenes, place a period and delete all language on line 16 through 19.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
Is there objection? There is objection. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I just point out that it is exactly the same language that was offered by the minority. I think it is the simplest and cleanest way to deal with it.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know whether to be hurt or to be proud that Majority Leader has plagiarized my amendment.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I just point out that amendment was offered by Representative Gardner and not by the minority.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to point that out also, since the Minority Leader voted against the amendment.
Anyone else want to point out anything? Representative Malone. Besides, it's almost 10.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think the amendment was probably adequately debated before, but I think that the amendment does represent a step backwards from the work done by the Judiciary Committee in considering the legislative process and the application of the Constitution, proposed constitutional limit to that, and I oppose the amendment under any sponsorship.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, oppose the amendment. I feel as though the Judiciary Committee substituted a real good approach to the problem. I think we should vote on it and pass it just the way it is.
Is there further debate? Representative Zaroff.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just maybe a point of inquiry here. I know that we went through the ritual there of going through this amendment the first time, but was there anything said other than that the amendment is on the clerk's desk? I don't remember the amendment being read.
The amendment has not been read.
It was read?
Was it read? We're both asleep, Representative Zaroff.
Maybe, Mr. Speaker, maybe all the more reason there for Representative Cotton's amendment.
Representative Freeman?
Mr. Speaker, point of information. Are we under a call or not?
Yes, we are.
And may I ask, secondly, why are we voting on anything if the call hasn't been fulfilled?
I'm going to lift it just before we vote.
I'll try to keep up this time.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep up, too. This time, I'm going to lift the call. Is there further debate on amendment number one? The question is, shall the House adopt the amendment to amendment number one being the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 25 yeas, 12 nays.
So the amendment to the amendment has been adopted by the House. State your point. Yes, I did. I'm going to replace the call now. Representative Halford, would you like to move the Judiciary Committee substitute? As amended. House Standardies. We have before us the motion to adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 as amended. House is under call. Is there debate? This time I'm going to lift the call. The question is, shall the House adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 as amended? in lieu of the original bill. Thank you, Representative Rogers. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 25 yeas, 9 nays.
So the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12, as amended, has been adopted in lieu of the original bill. Representative Rogers?
May we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Malone, do you want to withdraw your amendment number one again, please?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one no longer would fit the bill.
Is there objection to the withdrawal of amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one is withdrawn. Will the clerk please read amendment number two?
Amendment number two by Randolph and Bettysworth, page 1, line 15. Delete 20 and replace it with 5.
Representative Randolph.
I'd move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Brown.
Are we under a call?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, if we were under the call, then how could the senior member from Kenai withdraw his amendment?
It's a good point, Representative Brown. This time I'll lift the call, Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, the amendment never was moved. I think it's just advice to the clerk that the amendment should not be read for the purpose of making the motion.
Thank you. Without objection, amendment number one is withdrawn. Will the clerk please read amendment number two?
I just read that one. Amendment number two by Randolph and Bettysworth. Page 1, line 15, delete 20 and replace it with 5.
Representative Randolph. There is objection. We are not under the call. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 as amended? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Zaroff?
No to yes.
Representative Zaroff from no to yes. Representative Malone?
No to yes.
Representative Malone from no to yes. Representative Hurlburt? Representative Hurlburt from no to yes. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 25 nays.
So the House has failed to adopt amendment number 2. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Representative Cotton, page 1, line 16. After the word convenes, add, no business may be conducted by the legislature between the hours of 9 p.m. and 8 a.m.
Representative Cotton.
Speaker, I think I'd like to withdraw the motion. I'm not sure that people are going to let me. It's been pointed out to me that perhaps this doesn't really belong in the Constitution, but I would make a request on the side that the leadership consider making it a policy of the operation of this House not to do any work between 9 o'clock at night and 8 o'clock in the morning.
Representative Cotton, are you withdrawing the motion? Are you withdrawing the amendment? Would you move the amendment, please?
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 3. Ask unanimous consent.
There is objection.
Question.
Question is, Representative Meekins? We are not under the call. Thank you. Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 3 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 as amended? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 24 nays.
So the House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 4? Representative Meekins. This time I'll place a call on the House. Representative, House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 4?
Amendment Number 4.
House is under call.
Amendment Number 4 by Rogers to committee substitute House Joint Resolution Number 12, Judiciary amended. Delete 120 on page 1, line 15. Delete 120, insert 90.
This time I'll lift the call. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12 as amended? Members may proceed to vote.
Point of order, there's a call on the House.
No, there isn't. Will the clerk please clear the roll? Question before the body is the adoption of Amendment Number 4. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, please open the roll so Representative Moss can vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 25 nays.
So the House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 4. Does the clerk have further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12 amended be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12, Judiciary amended, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska limiting the length of regular sessions of the legislature.
Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12 is amended as before us in third reading. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I've over the years have been one of those people that I always considered myself a citizen legislator. I love to get the work done and go home. I've served in the legislature when we had 87-day sessions, 90-day sessions, 100-day sessions. Mr. Speaker, you know, the form of government that we operate under is far from perfect, but it's probably as good as anything that's ever been invented, as far as I'm concerned. But there's some principles involved here that I think are very important, and one of them is that when the three co-equal branches of a government, there always has to be a balance. And any time, and history has proven that, any time that one of them gets a little out of hand or a little lax or a little overpowerful or whatever the case may be, you begin to have problems. We had, I think, a good example of that back in Nixon administration at the federal level. But the years that I've been in the legislature, I've always made an argument, and I still believe that it's proper, that none of the co-equal branches of government should ever allow for any diminution of their responsibilities and their powers if there's any way they can help it. That's what part of what makes the system work, is each branch trying to keep it on equal balance so that one of them doesn't become overpowering. And if you consider it in that light, Mr. Speaker, the judiciary is, they work year-round. They're always on the job. The executive branch are on the job year-round. There's only one of the co-equal branches that is here only for a short time every year, and that is the legislature. I know it's popular with the public, and it's a great idea. A lot of people say that, you know, there should be some limit on these horrible people down there that are representing us. But I think it's a mistake on our part if we do anything that lessens our power, our responsibilities, when you compare it to the other two branches of government. I don't think it's necessary. So it seems to me, and I've tried to be consistent this evening, I voted against all the amendments that would make it even worse than I think it is. But I think you should consider very, very carefully what you're doing here this evening, what's being proposed, when you start cutting down on your powers and your responsibilities and your authority. Because after all, we're the most numerous ones. There are 40 members in this body, 60 in the whole branch, legislative branch. We're the elected people. On the other side, in the executive branch, you've got two people that are elected. So the people, when they have an opportunity to throw people in and throw them out, we're the ones that's most readily available. I think it's just in practice, it's a bad, bad mistake for us to do anything to cut down our authority and our responsibilities. Therefore, I disapprove and will vote against the resolution.
Question. Representative Brown.
Oh, very quickly, Mr. Speaker. We're back where we were when an error earlier was noted, and the senior member from Juneau and I had just finished explaining why we opposed this self-flagellatory thing. I think the member from Ketchikan has put it pretty clearly. Mr. Speaker, the American judicial doctrine, constitutional doctrine of what's called judicial supremacy, which gives the Supreme Court the final word on what is or is not the law, and particularly what is or is not dictated by the state constitution, and the way in which the Alaska Constitution drafters gave power to our executive so that he is probably, or almost certainly, constitutionally the most powerful executive in a free country this side of the president of France, I think those two realities underscore the arguments made by the senior member from Ketchikan right now and explain why we should vote against this joint resolution.
Question. Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, it must be getting late, but on the 105-day amendment, the speaker from Ketchikan voted for the amendment, 105 days. I don't know. Don't understand.
Are you debating the amendment, Representative Randolph, or the bill?
The bill.
Is there further debate? The House is not under call. Call has been lifted. Question is, shall the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12, as amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 24 yeas, 13 nays.
So the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 12, as amended, has failed to pass the House. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Judiciary Committee substitute House Joint Resolution 12.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration of Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 12, Judiciary amended, be brought up at this time.
Object.
Object. Representative Hofford, do you wish the floor?
Stand at ease, please.
House stand at ease.
Able to dispose of the issue tonight, but it's obvious we can't, so I'd withdraw the motion.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'll wait until you rule that the motion has been withdrawn.
Without objection, Representative Rogers' motion to bring up the reconsideration today on the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 12 as amended has been withdrawn. Representative Brown.
I'd like to serve a notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 188.
Notice of reconsideration.
Point of order. We didn't vote on
that. Vote on it yet, Fred.
In second reading, we'll be in third reading on Friday's calendar.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 188 was not in second reading when it came back before this body, and at the end of today's calendar, I intend to request that we take up 188 in third reading. I have a written opinion from Mr. Barrier that if any member wants to take a look at.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a constituent in Gallery A I'd like to introduce, a good friend and an old friend, Bob.
Would you like to move back to Would you like to move back to introduction?
Move back to introduction of guests, please.
Representative Carney.
Bob Fisher from Big Lake. Bob.
Are there further guests for introduction? Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
I believe it's House Bill 229, which is placed at the bottom. House Bill number 229 by Randolph Anderson, Byrne, Bettysworth, Fanning, and Metcalf, entitled An Act Relating to Employee Overtime Compensation and Providing for an Effective Date. State Affairs Committee had House Bill 229 under consideration. Committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 229, entitled An Act Relating to the Alaska Wage and Hour Act and Providing for an Effective Date, and that the committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Metcalf Chairman, concurred in by Abood and Fanning. Miller and Brown signed no recommendation. Finance Committee, it was referred to Finance, and then it was taken from the calendar and returned to Rules. Rules has a report. Considered House Bill 229 and reported it back to replace with committee substitute for House Bill number 229 Rules, entitled An Act Relating to the Alaska Wage and Hour Act. And the report was signed as follows. Fuller, Chairman, and Hayes signed do pass. O'Connell, Phillips, and Smith signed no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk. The committee substitutes are before us.
Representative Clarkson.
House, I call the House.
House has been called before us to call. We were at ease.
I call the House on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
It's not before us, Representative.
The bill has.
House, please come back to order. Representative Duncan, would you like to restate your call?
Hasn't the bill been read, Mr. Speaker?
Yes,
the bill
it
before
has.
Us?
Mm-hmm. There has been no motion made, Representative Duncan, at this point.
Well, I'll lift a call. I just, some members were getting ready to leave and go to their offices. I think we should all stay here.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 229 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Object. There is objection. Representative Duncan, do you wish to place your call?
No, just as long as everybody stays here, I'm happy.
Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker, I call the House. Mr. Speaker.
The motion before us is the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 229. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to replace the motion to replace the call on the House. Thank you.
There is a call on the House. Instruct the Sergeant at Arms to inform the pages to find Representative Smith. And Representative Cotton, Grusendorf, and any other missing members. The House is not at ease. Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. I'm going to, we are under a call, but I'm going to extend the call to the to the second floor, and we'll take about a 10-minute at ease.